Legends of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where we catch you up on all the hot wrestling action of the week. Remember to rate and subscribe. I hate that I gotta say this. You should know this. If you're listening, give us 5 stars. Write something about how cool we are in the comments. Write how shitty we are in the comments. I don't care. Just give 5 stars. Sweet. Cool. All right, let's get into it. A lot to cover. Every single week there's a lot to cover now because wrestling is trying to take over all the media you consume. Anyway, every week on the podcast I have a funny guest from the comedy world, and this week is no exception. Straight from the streets of Philadelphia, but without the AIDS, Alex Newman.
That's right. The one defining characteristic of Philadelphia that it gave Tom Hanks AIDS.
I didn't want people to think that you had it.
I do not.
I don't know. This got real dark real fast. But it's funny because the reason I think about Philadelphia, the first thing I think of is the movie, is because my wife, she loves that movie. Mm. She watches it all the time, which is a weird thing.
Yeah.
But she loves, like, she tends to, like, gravitate towards the morbid.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of comedians do. She's a comedian.
Absolutely.
As well. Our wedding was, like, you know, in April,
right.
And one of the jokes was, she was like, "We want our first dance to be the Streets of Philadelphia song." that Bruce Springsteen song,
yeah.
That just is like all about AIDS,
because
it's actually like a nice song.
Sure, yeah,
you could dance to it, but like people would start like slowly be isn't this? And we thought that'd be really funny, but we backed out on that.
We
backed
out
on probably most of the things. Most of the goofy things we were going to do for a wedding, we backed out of most of those. Anyway, enough about me. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, so you're one of our active members of the Facebook page, the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Check it out. We're having a nice, skintimate conversation about pro wrestling.
I'm underemployed, so I have plenty of time to post and comment.
I think all wrestling fans are underemployed. you're from Philadelphia, which I was asking you before we started, and like we started talking about that because I said to you, like, Philly's a real heel town.
Yeah.
And I grew up going to Philadelphia a lot, and I went to college in Delaware, so we would like go to Philly at like random weekends, like I went to like 76ers games and shit. So I never really like grew up thinking of Philly in like a heel way.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I take it as a compliment. I think
that wasn't a question, but
it is a heel city. I think in the sense that I think no matter what the medium, if it's professional wrestling or comedy or whatever it is, it's really hard to please that audience.
Yeah,
And they don't let you get away with shit like at all.
Yeah,
and I think the benefit though of that sort of intensity is that with wrestling, I don't think there's a city like on TV that seems to give more of a shit about what's going on in the ring in Philly. Like they're on board for everything.
They're passionate and they demand excellence.
Yes.
Like I was remembering recently that to promote that last season of Game of Thrones, they said in Philadelphia they were gonna like project dragons. They were like, there's gonna be like a dragon show. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
On like some church or something like that. And then it was just like this shitty projection. It was like pretty insulting.
Yeah.
And everyone in Philly was just booing
booed
it and posting on Instagram.
Of course.
They'll just boo a dragon.
Yeah. Well, we trashed that shitty robot that was trying to travel the country too.
What was the robot?
In Canada made this robot and the point was to see how far it could travel across the United States by like hitchhiking. Like people would pick up this, and when I say robot, I mean it was like a bunch of trash like stapled together.
Yeah.
And it got to Philly, and somebody at like 4 o'clock in the morning found it on the street and just kicked it to bits. And they didn't try to like take it with them. They just destroyed it.
They gave him the Roman Reigns treatment.
They did. Yeah. they buried the robot.
Were you around at all for the ECW?
I was. Yeah, I was living in Trenton at the time, and I was only about 10 or 11
in New Jersey.
Yeah, and I
Trenton, New Jersey, is that South Jersey?
Yeah. Well,
there's that weird thing where people who are, I learned this from going to Delaware,
is
like people in Jersey, if you live in South Jersey, you consider yourself, like Philly's your city, not New York City.
Right.
You know, you're like, so.
Or even Camden, they call Camden, like if there's anything happening in like Camden, they say it's in Philly, but it's in a different state.
Yeah.
But it was,
But Philly was your city, even though you were in New Jersey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was only 10. Like, I grew up, I was born in Philly, like a suburb of Philly called Levittown, and I lived in Trenton for like a couple years.
Yeah.
And I was like 1,000 feet from the ECW arena. It was like the Rockefeller building or something like that.
You grew up 1,000 feet from the ECW arena?
It was so close. Yeah, my stepdad took me a couple times to see it. I saw Tommy
Dreamer. You got to go with your stepdad.
Yeah.
You don't want to go with your biological father.
That's not
as cool. If you want to be extreme, you got to go with your
stepdad.
Your stepdad's got to be like, look, man. Yeah, let me show you the ropes.
Yeah, and I was scared, to be honest, because like, he showed me it on TV. I'm a kid, and I'm seeing like Tommy Dreamer go through like 17 tables and like Sabu.
How old are you at this point?
I'm 30. So,
well, now you don't make me do math. How old are you when you go into ECW?
Like 10. 10
like
and
10. Wow.
Yeah.
At 10, I was seeing like Ultimate Warrior. I was watching as Daniel Bryan would say, the soft WWE style.
No, because it was like, 95, 96.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, is that even, that's like even before they were doing the pay per views and stuff, right? That's just when they were just doing like just purely local shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember ever seeing like a young Paul Heyman?
I don't remember. All I remember are like the huge spots that I saw. Like I saw Tommy Dreamer like in person go through too many tables. Sandman beating the shit out of people with the cane. Like big kind of stuff I remember. I don't remember Paul Heyman.
Sabu,
I remember Sabu.
Yeah.
I saw him a couple times, but I just remember being super like too scared to really enjoy it because it was so intense and I'm like don't know much at 11, you know.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, and I kind of missed that aspect, like how crazy the spots were. I realized like we have to like take care of the performers now and like not have them crush their skulls.
Well,
but there's nothing beats like coming through 20 tables. Nothing beats it.
Yeah. Well, those guys. I mean, the whole Attitude Era and like what ECW, the precedent that it set is kind of insane. But it made me think about it. Some of that stuff was awesome. I really did enjoy it at the time.
Yeah.
But I would say I enjoy the spot fest now. Like, I enjoy the spots now that are, like, more acrobatic and controlled. Like, I enjoy what a Neville does more than just seeing, like, I don't know.
I understand.
I'm disagreeing with myself as I say it, just because Neville wasn't my favorite example because he's a little sterile to me. Like he's a little. I like Neville, but he's a little like too gymnasty.
Yeah. Well,
but
we could talk about a spot that happened on Raw.
Yeah.
And we can skip to the end of
it. Bringing it to Raw. Yeah. Sure.
That big top of the cage splash.
The crossbody from Seth Rollins off the top of the cage.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy that a lot. It doesn't have to be a table. You can land on the big Bulgarian brute's arms and be fine.
Yeah, that's very high.
Yeah.
I mean, and Rollins had two big jumps in the night. I mean, the other one was a lot smaller than the other, you know, that one. You thought it was going to be big, and then he made up for it with a big jump later.
Yeah.
Because that was actually interesting because since the draft, they changed the whole setup. But before the whole like Raw layout, before that would have been a big drop.
Right.
Like it used to be higher up.
Yeah.
So I think we were all like got a little tricked.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh, wait, that's only like a 3-foot drop.
Right.
But it used to be like, I remember when Kevin Owens threw Machine Gun Kelly off of the, why am I losing what that's called? It's called the ramp, but what's the top of the ramp called? Whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
That was like a big drop, even though he fell onto like you know some padding. And
right,
stuff,
right, right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What was it? So you called me the Drew Gulak of the. Is that because I'm from Philly?
Just because he's from Philly, and also because I felt like you're like a Gulak head. I don't know. You dug
him. I
am.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's awesome.
You dug him.
Yeah. Well, there was a weird.
There's also that girl who's in the Facebook group, Erin Finnerty, and she also is a Gulak. You guys are both like Philly Gulak fans.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him besides the Cruiserweight Classic, which actually we'll get into Raw. We'll get into everything, but let's talk about the Cruiserweight Classic because the finale happened. We were recording our last ep, and it was that night. So T.J. Perkins won the Cruiserweight Classic.
Hell yeah, I like that a lot. Actually,
yeah,
I think that he's really cool, and I actually like. I mean, for the sake of, I know that diversity is a big conversation around everywhere.
Yeah,
and I think it's cool that like a Filipino dude who was homeless won the whole thing.
Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, that's cool. A Filipino guy won, and then I immediately thought of my friend A.J. Dayrit, who I went to high school with, who is who's like a big. He's the biggest wrestling fan that I know. he'll post pictures. He like goes down to Full Sail,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like
yeah.
He's like a big wrestling guy, and so I was like, oh, he probably thinks it's awesome. And then he was like, look, I know I'm a Filipino and I'm supposed to dig that T.J. Perkins won, but he's like, that guy's so boring. I gave him props for that because if it was like a Jew, I would just right. be like, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
I would be like, you
who
know.
Was that one? Barry Horowitz?
Yeah, Barry Horowitz. And, he was all, no, Barry Horowitz is great. I don't know why you're laughing.
Right. No, I'm saying his gimmick was that he was Jewish.
His gimmick is that he was Jewish. I mean, at that time, it was easy to shit on Barry Horowitz because we had Goldberg.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, why did
we got one Jew.
His name was Goldberg.
Right.
Like, and he was the biggest jacked, least Jewy looking guy.
Right.
But yeah, so T.J. Perkins won.
Yeah,
Cruiserweight Classic. Yeah, T.J. Perkins. Look, T.J. Perkins was an immediate standout for mm-hmm. me. Like I remember from the first round, I think he fought in the first card, the first
yeah.
night.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my buddy like immediately text each other like, this guy T.J. Perkins is good.
Yeah,
and he has a lot of experience. He's not that young.
Yeah,
he's like 32. Which is young, but he's not that new to the business. Mm-hmm. Like some of these cruiserweights feel like they're 19 years old.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's been around a while. He's wrestled in like TNA. He's had like PWG matches. He's like been around.
Right.
So it's cool. He's a guy who's due. And I'm happy he won. I think that what ruined the end of the Cruiserweight Classic for me is that I knew TJ Perkins would win
right.
going into that special
because yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr. didn't sign.
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi didn't sign either. Like
right.
there was rumblings that he did sign, but then I guess he was asking, he was like, I will, he's like, he was like, I'll sign, but I won't exclusively fight in WWE.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. That is kind of like the downside
like,
of
they're not going to give it to Grand Bata Lee because no. he like can't speak English.
At all. Right.
At all.
Yeah.
He could win the Cruiserweight Champion Classic, but I was like, for him to come out on Raw on the first night, I'm like, I couldn't see it. So
no.
I knew T.J. Perkins was going to win. But then they didn't even have T.J. Perkins didn't even show up on Raw.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad they went with Brian Kendrick. I think it's a pretty obvious pick
yeah.
to win that and kind of be the contender. But yeah, they kind of did it out of order. Like WWE can never get the order of like how to reveal things.
Right.
Ever. Like they keep building up. What's his name? Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I already don't care about this guy.
Yeah. And like, he's coming back, too.
Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Fuck you. Face the facts.
Face the facts.
The dumbest, like, thing.
His promos are real. Those packages are pretty dumb.
Yeah, but, like, so they never get they should have waited to reveal everything on Raw.
Yeah.
And just made a bigger deal of it on Raw.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, look, there's a lot to say.
Yeah.
Let's go back
yes.
for a second, and then we'll go back into Raw. Let's go back to the Cruiserweight Classic, like, the special.
Yeah.
Because it was actually the thing that I cared about the most this week.
Easily, yeah, yeah.
So, but like that kind of ruined it for me because I was like, I know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I did pop for the title because I think the title was really cool.
Yeah.
Do you like the way the title
I like, yeah, I like the title a lot.
I Triple H, I don't think he needs to deliver everything so theatrically. Like, I don't know if he needs to, like, everything needs to be so dramatic. Like,
yeah.
he never said, this match is going to be for the championship. I think that might have been fine.
Sure.
I don't think you need to say, like, we're looking for the one.
Right.
One guy with the ability. Like, it's a little too much, especially in that small arena.
Yeah.
But I do like – it's just a little – it's like he could save it.
Right.
Because sometimes it's coming off as, like, douchey.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That time, maybe I liked it. But it keeps bringing me back to, like, how he keeps opening up all the – Brooklyn takeovers,
yeah,
like every SummerSlam by just like being like it started as a whisper, and you're like, it's that I like. I mean, I don't need that. It's
yeah,
like, you could be a little bit of like the hero behind the scenes. Like maybe we could like catch you, like we could just catch you on the camera, like looking at a screen, and then you'll look kind of cool because we know you're behind it.
Yeah, yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
have to be so overtly like.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm making. I'm so great.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, I feel like a lot of the success of the Cruiserweight Classic was because of how hands off. A lot of the creative
yeah.
felt, and they just let them wrestle and let them do cool shit
yeah.
and work ring psychology in a way that like would get people who they're not cutting promos. So the only way they can get over is to put on awesome matches. And that's
right.
what they did. And then here comes Triple H. Like, remember who this guy
gotta always put himself over.
Yeah.
He always has. To.
Yeah. Triple H is in business
but,
for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. So we had those four matches that night.
Yeah.
First, we had Sabre Jr. versus Grand Metalik.
Is that your motto?
I can't do a good impression, but I walk around my house like an autistic man, just like saying Grand Metalik in the Moro voice. It just sticks in my head because Grand Metalik is such a funny name.
I walk around saying, Tope Suicida.
And my
girlfriend's like, what the fuck are you
talking about? Grand Tozawa. what's his name? I don't know his first name.
Akira. Something.
Yeah, Akira Tozawa. Grand Metalik. Grand Metalik.
I love Mauro, though. I thought the match on Raw was great, but it didn't feel the same without Daniel Bryan and Ruben and Mauro, like, commentating.
Yeah. So I think Mick Foley tweeted something out saying, like, hey, we want to borrow them from SmackDown because for them to announce the Cruiserweight. They did really help it a lot. I mean, especially Mauro, like, the intensity of the matches and his intensity really, like, had a nice synergy.
Yeah.
So I do miss that. But just to go back to the classic for a minute, and I think that is, like, I thought the Sabre Jr. Mata League match I was not that into.
Mm-mm.
And especially after coming off, like, me defending Sabre Jr. so hard on this thread.
He's got lady legs.
Yeah. How do you feel about Sabre Jr.? Because this is going to be a running thread of the show.
Sure.
We're always going to talk about ZSJ.
So I think... I didn't really pay a lot of attention to, like, mat wrestling.
Yeah.
But now that I have started to, I think there's just people who do it better. Like, I like Jack Gallagher better. I think it's just more interesting when he does that British style.
Yeah. I think it's Gallagher, right?
Gallagher? I don't know.
I was calling him Gallagher.
It's got a G in it.
Whatever. It's not important.
But I don't hate Zack Sabre Jr. I just don't see, like, a lot of the hype around him because his body's shit. He can't really talk.
His body's shit.
It is. I mean, my body is shit as well, but, like, compared to a lot of the other superstars, I don't hate him. I don't think he's, like, awful.
Yeah.
It's just kind of boring. Although I do say my boy Gulak, that was probably my favorite match, was Gulak Sabre Jr. because of the amount of selling that was happening, which I don't see him selling a lot. Like, he gets, like, dropped on his head and he just has the same look on his face.
Yeah.
All the time.
Sabre Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sabre. Well, I think that's one of the valid
you
complaints
like that,
about
right?
him.
You like
that, right? No. I think his in-ring acting is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I think his... Yeah, I think it's... that's actually a knock on him. Look, I agree with a lot of things about him. I just think the way he wrestles... Someone put it to me this weekend as saying it's too easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I ever heard it put that way, which is, like, kind of a way... similar to what Jason Shapiro, friend of the show...
And the man jerk. That you've made my mortal enemy
and Alex Newman, they have a feud going on the Facebook thread, but it's like they were saying that his whole, like, all the holds he does, it feel like they're too unrealistic,
right?
And I think that's, like, ties into that where it's like, hey, you know, in real life that, like, if someone is twisting your arm like that, you wouldn't scream in pain, you'd try to punch them with the other arm,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're ever, sometimes there's, like, pressure points in the body where, like, you're like completely paralyzed in a way, like,
right.
I don't know, I buy it. For some reason, I'm able to suspend my disbelief, but I think that's valid. So anyway, that match I didn't love that much. I do like Grand Metalik.
Yeah.
I think what I dig about him is, like, he's a luchador who goes, like, so over the top.
Yeah.
I think, like, his outfit is, like, full-on Power Ranger, and I'm like, you know what? He comes in, like, a king's robe.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Or do, like, Del Rio, where you don't do it at all.
Right.
Although, I think I just read something that Del Rio was urging luchadors to take off their masks.
Oh, really? That seems controversial. I don't know if it is, but it seems
like it
would be.
It sounds disrespectful, but I don't know if I made that up or not.
Yeah.
I'll have to relook that up for next time, too. Actually, Zig, check that up. See if Del Rio was talking about luchador's style.
Del Rio shoots on luchadors.
Yeah, well, he just showed up in some small promotion. All right, great. So the other match. Oh, then we had TJ Perkins versus who? TJ Perkins versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah,
that match was dope.
Yes,
that match I was like,
yeah,
whoa,
yeah.
That match I thought it was better than the finale too.
Yeah, I recently started getting into
New
Japan and stuff, and Ibushi is I could watch him wrestle all day. I just love how strong. I love when they make guys look strong, like super strong, and they do a good job of that with him. And they did it in the CWC,
with
that sit out power bomb. Like the last ride.
He does
like
a last ride, a sit down last ride.
I mean,
ride.
That goes so. Sit out power bomb.
Yeah.
goes a long way with me.
You like the sit-down powerbomb?
Yeah, I love it.
I always think, like, I like it, but it's always awkward when, like, now they're in the seated position.
Yeah.
Batista actually figured out, like, that he did a backward somersault out of it. Which actually made it work for me.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is just be sitting down.
Right. Or try to put your ankles over their wrists so you can pin them. Yeah.
But Kota Ibushi goes right into a pin, so that's fine. So he's in the pin position, and then he yells like a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know that? I can't tell if he's... it sounds like it looks like he sat on a spike.
Yeah.
Like he looks like in so much pain.
Yeah.
And then we had the finals, which was a cool match, and then TJ Perkins won. TJ Perkins, pretty terrible on microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that might be a part of the reason why they didn't bring him out.
For sure.
They were like, if we're gonna showcase the cruiserweights, right? Let's bring out Grant Maltali and let's just show them what they do in the ring.
Yeah. I kinda hated that Foley was like if you've been watching, you know what to expect. But if you haven't been watching, like, get ready because it's going to be awesome. Like, just shut up. Like,
yeah, well, they did everything. So now let's get into Raw, how they debuted the Cruiserweights. Yeah. And, like, we're giving this a lot of weight because, actually, to me, the Cruiserweight Classic has been a major success. And,
absolutely.
And been, like, very exciting, especially in a time where, like, I don't know, historically, this is a lull for me after watch wrestling. Like, between SummerSlam and the Rumble,
right,
I get, like, a little less excited. And that made me, I feel like reinvigorated by, like, oh, the Cruiserweights are coming. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they buried him in the third hour, which I was like, I was hoping they would not do.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would open Raw with them. Like, they would treat it like the Cruiserweights are here and it's a big deal.
Right.
And I'm not.
But now it's, what's it going to be, like a 15-minute segment every Monday? That's it?
Yeah, and also I hate this thing where they always have to, like, bring out Mick Foley to, like, he's got to introduce them and sell the Cruiserweights. Yeah. It's like all the selling was in the ring.
Right.
And it was proven.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. When I was watching it, I was like, I can't wait for them to give these guys storylines they don't give a shit about.
Yeah. Like, right.
Just let them wrestle.
Just let them wrestle. Now, the crowd was dead when the Cruiserweight segment started. A couple reasons why. Mick Foley was, how many times did he get on the microphone?
Yeah.
That Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Raw is just like the talkiest show.
It is.
Now, I'm contradicting myself because I've always been like, I want a little more story, but this is none of it's story.
Right.
It's all just like celebration.
Yeah.
And like semantics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like there's got to be an optimal way. Like on NXT, the way that they have what's his name? Like William Regal, the way he like sorts things out, they can use a little bit of that.
Yeah, William Regal.
Where it's just like he stares off, he'll like just like come out and show his distaste for something that happened, and then the next week he's like, all right, because of last week, here's what's going to happen.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I will defend Foley. Actually, one of the first hot takes that I have is, fuck that audience. Here's why.
Oh, okay.
Here's why. So Foley's doing that thing in the ring, and he's like, quoting Mark Twain, right?
Yeah.
And he flubs his words a little bit.
Yeah.
Crowd turns on him. Now, that man has been beat about the face and head area more than anybody.
It's fucked up to knock Foley for flubbing lines, considering, like, for your entertainment, he killed all his brain
cells. Exactly, yeah. So, like, at that point, I'm like, oh, this audience is the worst. And they, like, of course they're booing Roman, but they hate it. That crowd hated Roman more than, like, any crowd I've seen recently, because they've been trying to, I guess, reinvent him. But, yeah, that crowd was... The second that they turned on Foley, I'm like, have some perspective, for fuck's sake.
No, yeah, that's a great point. I didn't think about that. I kind of felt like, I mean, look, I think also WWE, like, Foley had a great week last week when he, like, flipped out on Rollins.
Yeah.
And they kind of did what I said, where he was like, I'm going to deal with you next time. Like, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, Foley's, he's great again. Like, Vince was like, look at Foley. He's got it back.
Let him dog.
Get him a leopard shirt. You know, get him his old, I think it's Cheetah. But anyway, he came back. But, you know, so then it was like, I think maybe they like everything in wrestling, they just like drilled it into the ground. And it was like, all right, let's have Foley do all the heavy lifting on Raw.
Yeah. And it's not fair for somebody who's been
that's
beat
fair.
Up so much.
That is fair. Yeah. So let's get into Raw. But
right,
before we do, ask me what I'm wearing. Let's do the what are you wearing.
Oh, hey, Dan, what are you wearing?
Right now I'm wearing from the Attitude Era vintage Stone Cold Steve Austin, Austin 316 shirt.
What do you
have? You describe the back.
All right, on the back we have a skull with smoke coming out of the eyes, and stamped into the forehead it says Stone Cold.
That's right. Cool. So yeah, I'm wearing a Stone Cold shirt because you can always wear it. And also because I actually wore this shirt when I was going through my drawers. Because, look, I have all these wrestling shirts. And I'm like, when am I going to wear these fucking things? Like, you can't wear them anywhere else.
Right.
Can't wear a Bullet Club shirt to go out to dinner with my wife. you know, we're sitting in a nice Italian restaurant. And the guy's like, ooh, Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Call the police.
Yeah. When I wear my, I have that Ambrose shirt.
Yeah.
And when I wear it out, people are like, yeah, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
I get it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But that's because, you know, he was the champ.
I saw when I was recently at Disney World, this guy was Disneyland. Yeah. This guy was wearing a Suplex City tee.
Oh.
And I was like, Suplex City, bitch. And he loved it.
Don't they bill him as the ninth mayor of Suplex City? There was that promo, that commercial that was going around for the video game. And Paul Heyman calls Brock Lesnar the ninth mayor of Suplex City.
No.
Like, who are the other eight? Like, watch, there's a commercial where he's the ninth mayor of Suplex City.
Are you sure he doesn't say nightmare?
No, he says the ninth mayor.
The ninth
mayor. If he says nightmare, that probably makes more sense, but I swear he says ninth mayor.
All right. I mean, if a ninth, I love the flavor of, like, what's ninth mayor? Who is yeah. mayor one
the
through
democratic
eight?
Process.
It's like when they call China, like, the ninth wonder of the world.
Yeah. Well, who's the eighth?
Yeah, because what's the eighth wonder of the world?
I don't know. The internet?
What? How many wonders of the world are there? Isn't there seven or eight?
Seven wonders of the world.
Right, so they called her the ninth.
Yeah. No, was she the eighth wonder of the world? We got to look this up.
Was
she's the eighth. There are seven.
Oh, yeah, there's
seven wonders of the world.
There's somebody else is called it. There's something else that's the ninth where they skip one. Maybe I'm thinking of something. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Delete that, Zig. Delete. I cannot be embarrassed of my loyal followings. All right. Delete.
They were chanting that. Did you hear that? The crowd was chanting delete when Roman came.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
They wanted to delete him? Oh,
yeah,
that's great. Oh, my God. From the anytime I make a factual error, we say, like, it needs to be deleted. yeah, cool. So we're talking about Raw. Well, I wore the Stone Cold shirt, which is actually a SmackDown. I know we're jumping around, but I wore this because I felt like Ambrose had the kind of week that Stone Cold would want from him.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they had those beef, and you're an Ambrose guy.
I am.
Gene's Ambrose.
Gene's Ambrose, yeah.
Gene's Ambrose fan. So we're not getting into Raw. Let's get into
SmackDown.
Well, SmackDown was better this week.
I think so.
Yeah, I think SmackDown was better. It's been better.
Yeah.
SmackDown's been better. Still feels a little like SmackDown is better. A lot of it is the fact that it's 2 hours long.
Right.
Which helps it a lot. But it does feel like it's missing. Like, it does feel a lot like I'm just seeing, like, Miz Intercontinental.
Yeah.
Like the same thing over and over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because right now, that's where we're at. But I think that'll self-correct, like I was saying. Like, now we have the Cruiserweights, and I think we already saw Jack Swagger defect. Like, who gives a shit?
Jack Swagger has like, his charisma level is like a car salesman, like, level charisma. Like, it's just not there. I don't want to hear what he's saying.
Yeah. He's a guy who's like, he could be, like, cool in a small town. And that's
Yeah.
So anyway, Dean Ambrose this week.
Yeah.
How did you feel? You're a DA guy.
I am.
Right? And you've been frustrated with him lately.
I have. So, My issues with Dean Ambrose, well, the reason I like him is because with me, like, a gimmick goes a long way. Like, if I think someone's gimmick is simply cool and it's just like a subjective thing on my part, then I forgive them. And I like what his gimmick is supposed to be sometimes, I guess, is that he's like this guy who can take a ton of beatings and never give up. And I wish they would go farther, like that, like kind of like a Spike Dudley, like, speaking of ECW, like this, like, little scrawny guy who would get beat up,
yeah,
would never give up. Lean farther into that with him, but still on the mic, like, he's just not at a level where he can be champ or, like, is worthy of being champ.
Right.
Because he's not going to go on the Today Show with the belt. He's not going to.
Yeah.
I'm talking smack. He was
the Today Show test?
Yeah, the Today Show test, which I think John Cena and, like, Finn Balor alone pass.
Yeah.
But, like, on talking smack, he was back to being this sort of, like, rambling idiot a little bit. Like, he sounded like a friend who's, like, high and is, like, trying to describe something to you, and he's just saying, like think about it.
I didn't watch Talking Smack this week.
Okay.
I always watch Talking Smack. I just didn't get to it.
I made sure to, but I never watch it.
Really? Yeah. I watched it last week, and I thought Alexa Bliss was pretty good on Talking Smack, but
yeah.
Harley Quinn. And I had a hot take on Talking Smack, so yeah, I didn't see him on there. So you're saying he kind of blew it.
Well,
take the shirt off? Should
No. So he didn't blow it. He did well. But it was just not, there was no clarity to what he was saying, and he just kind of reiterated a lot of like the points of like, oh, he's a part timer and he's not like me. You know, I wake up and I do this, I eat, sleep, breathe this. But it went on for so long.
Yeah.
And it was just like a high friend who's trying to describe to you like an episode of a TV show you haven't seen. And he's just like, oh, and then this happens. And it's like, okay.
It's a little rambly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, cool. On paper, though, he beat John Cena clean.
Hell yeah.
He beat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had to rewind because I was like, whoa. I mean, John Cena is, like, being pretty generous. It's smart, though.
It is, and absolutely.
It's really smart because it makes John Cena, like, super likable.
Yeah.
Because we know anytime he loses that it's, like, he gives the thumbs up on it.
Yeah.
So you know he's like, oh, I'm going to let these guys go over me.
Yeah.
But also it makes me think he might win the title. It makes me think.
Oh, well, no, of course they are. Of course he's going to tie. They've been hyping it up for...
But I mean, in like 3 weeks, like I think, you know, that he might win it as soon as then.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I don't think that's out of the question whatsoever because they can't they mention everything that's going to happen. And the more frequently they mention like, oh, Ric Flair's record, you know, it's going to happen. But no, I like I think the reason John Cena here's my theory on John Cena. I think that the reason that he. Buries, quote unquote, a lot of people is I think they gave him a pass when they let Brock Lesnar like brutalize him. You know, that match where he was just like,
yeah, SummerSlam.
He just didn't get, a hit on him at all.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam 2 years ago.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like after that, let him, like, he looks so weak.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind him burying a couple people to, like, get back on it.
So you're a Cena Superman apologist.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I mean, I think. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think Ambrose looked pretty good against Cena, and I think Cena can take losses, which we're learning, you know, which, like, and we don't know what this new John Cena phase is, where we don't know how much he's going to be around.
Yeah.
You know, part of me thinks that, like, you know, they're letting him loose because they're like, he's phasing out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we need to build up Dean Ambrose. And Dean Ambrose just had a big loss.
Yeah. And it makes sense, too, to, like...
It makes sense, but it was good to see Ambrose, like, have, like, a nice winning thing. But it also just feels good to see Ambrose in a more of an underdog position. It's where he thrives.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas, like, someone like Ziggler, who's in an underdog position, and they're not making anything of it, and now he's just, like, the guy who loses all the time.
Yeah.
Although I don't want him... I want Miz to retain for a long time. I like Miz. I like him more than Ziggler at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Miz is doing a great thing with the IC belt, and he's elevating it with the way he is, like, with he's giving it that importance that it needs. But I think, and I like how he keeps cheating to win with old school ways. Like, he's like the spray.
That spray bottle got me. Like, I didn't see him grab it, and when he rolled back in and sprayed him, I was like, oh shit.
Is it like perfume?
It's supposed to be perfume.
Because wasn't there the guy who was the, like, when we were kids, he was like the bottle, Rick the Bottle.
Oh,
bottle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He had the fucking perfume, like the big, he had, like, the big perfume prop. I love that he's like shooting with perfume. Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, the Ziggler, Ziggler lost again.
Yeah.
He's lost, I think, every match recently. Yeah.
I mean, why do they do that? Is it to just make it a bigger deal when they do win at, like, a big match, I guess?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of. But meanwhile, I mean, I guess he's not selling enough merch, I guess, to get the...
Yeah. I mean, overall, though, I thought... Talk about SmackDown. It's very kind of like a whatever week. Like, Orton had a squash match against Eric Rowan. They're keeping the Bray thing going.
Cut Eric Rowan. That's my... Cut him.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with him. I mean,
cut him.
Keep him employed just to have a guy have a job. But I definitely don't think Bray Wyatt needs him. Like,
no.
If you're going in on the Wyatt family, you go all in.
Yeah,
Bray Wyatt doesn't need one disciple. That's just stupid.
And if he does, they should move Bo from Raw to SmackDown.
It would be a better use of Bo. I think they still see a lot of potential in Bo.
Yeah.
This iteration of Bo, I'm like, I don't understand it at all. He's like a political sign.
Yeah. And he looks awesome in the ring. Like, I like his intensity, and he's like kind of has this wild-eyed look. But then he has this, like, amateur wrestling singlet on, and he's carrying
wearing the Social Outcast singlet too. It still says Outcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, he looked better when he was just in the white undies.
Yeah.
Like, and he's out of shape. It's cool. Like, you have a guy who's just out of shape.
Right.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. And I think they've been, I mean, this may just because they're real life brothers, but Bray has been, like, retweeting and tweeting about Bo a lot.
Yeah.
recently, and I think that because they're so transient now with going between the shows, I wouldn't be surprised if they do eventually somehow have him, because it's there, it's all there, like the Believe and Wyatt's always going on about believers and all this. It just makes so much sense, but
yeah, I think actually the most interesting thing I saw on SmackDown, besides the fact that I was like, where's AJ? Why is he not like on this episode? But then he had a cool attack at the end. And they established that Ambrose is going to fight AJ next week for the title.
Yeah.
So next week will be exciting SmackDown. For me, is like, I think the Usos look awesome.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I think they look amazing. I was like, I posted in the group where I was like, they wasted a decade looking like morons. Like, morons.
Yeah.
And then, like, they took off the face paint. And you're like, oh, these guys are, like, handsome.
Right.
And
the one, if you take his goatee off, is a spitting image for The Rock. Like, I know they're related.
Yeah.
But he's, like, identical in face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the Usos is, like, in good shape now, lost, like, a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And he's, like, shirtless.
Who is the
like,
one that's shirtless? Is it Jimmy or Jay?
I can't tell
anymore because they don't have the paint.
I have no idea. But. I mean, I'm like, oh man,
yeah.
And there's heels. They get in the ring and one sits on top of the ropes and the other guy sits below.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like perched on one, and they look like dope.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it.
They're like good heels. I was like, these guys are good.
Yeah.
They're good wrestlers too.
Yeah. And they're getting a bigger pop now as heels than they ever did, like in the last like year of being.
Yeah.
I was
wildly like more excited for them than American Alpha.
Yeah.
And I love American
Alpha. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. It was like cool. So I dig that they keep burying American Alpha because they're just like, we know they're going to go over.
Of course, yeah.
They're so inevitable. They're such like cream. They're going to like rise to the top that like the more we delay it, the better. It's like, it's going to be like, it's what they needed to do with a lot of stuff. Cool. Last thing about SmackDown is I thought Becky Lynch cut a good promo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought she was good. And I think actually what they were doing, it felt better than the stuff they're doing with the women on Raw for a second, because it was like not at all, I don't know, it wasn't even like, it wasn't acknowledgement of like the Divas Revolution and like,
right,
like the magic. Like that was like a comment that Sasha made last week or this week where she was like talking to Bayley and just being like, we created magic. At like SummerSlam,
yeah.
And you're like, who says that?
No,
who talks about like you think like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Cena never comes out and goes like, we had such a good match together. You know what I mean? Like it's too much like self congratulations in the Divas division on Raw. I keep saying it, but I really feel it. Where like Becky, she did say I worked hard to get here, but it was like, hey, I don't know. She's acting like a champion.
Yeah, absolutely. She looks great. Like she's yoked, man. Like she's
jacked.
She's huge.
Yeah.
And she would in a real, I think, fist fight, just obliterate Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Well, I think Alexa Bliss has a thing going with it. She's like very athletic, like small cheerleader type.
Yeah.
Like she's 5 foot tall.
Right.
And I kind of dig Alexa Bliss. I think also like you know, that was my the prime of when I was watching NXT. Like she was coming up. So
yeah.
I get behind her in that way. You know. But like that matchup, it's like we should acknowledge that like Alexa is like faster or something, like
right.
Say something to justify why like Becky, who's like jacked up, like
Daniel,
but I feel like Alexa Bliss doesn't like really, she had a hard time captivating the crowd.
Yeah, her delivery was weird.
Yeah, she had a hard time being like natural, but I think she'll get it together.
Yeah,
because she was saying good stuff.
Yes.
And then the last thing I'll say is, like, I have no idea what her gimmick is.
No, yeah. Well, they're trying to make it Harley Quinn, but that's like...
But she's... Harley Quinn's like a psychopath,
yeah.
Right?
And already is a fictional character that, like, it's like a hat on a hat. Like, you can't, like...
Yeah.
Your gimmick can't be someone else's gimmick.
Yeah, it's like the Harley Quinn of the WWE. You're like...
No.
Why? Because your hair is ombre? Like, you're like... Yeah. I think that she's more... Like, Alexa Bliss is just, like... I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what the answer is.
Yeah.
I said it last week. Her gimmick is that she's like a huge bitch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but I think like they do tease, it's like, they do tease this thing that she's like a natural born, like athlete, like pageant girl or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They have that, but they haven't been able to like, with the Harley Quinn thing, like she's a little, they haven't been able to pin down exactly her thing.
Yeah.
I worry about the Harley Quinn thing because it's like, it reminds me of like lunatic fringe stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like, oh, she's kind of crazy, but she's not crazy.
Yeah, and the returns are just naturally diminishing on something like that because you have to keep ramping it up, and you can't really be crazy.
I want to say something that's kind of controversial I didn't think about at all that just popped into my head. Mm-hmm. And you let me know. So how do you feel about Becky Lynch's in-ring gear? So I'm big against the steampunk. I think steampunk is corny in real life.
Useless.
I think in the ring it's corny. I think it's super corny. It's just corny.
I agree.
Especially for someone that has, like, if her gimmick was like, I'm steampunk, it feels like she's just wearing steampunk or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's kind of fading away from that.
Yeah. I think it's, because now it's almost like a Irish, it reminds me of like a Highlander, that's Scottish, but like a Highlander-esque, like, leather armor or something that she's wearing. Now, because before she had like the goggles and the like steam jacket and all this. I don't know. I don't know that I'd necessarily pay attention to her ring gear.
Well,
to
here's
a point
what I
where
say.
I'm like, this sucks.
And you shouldn't, because it's probably misogynistic, probably. But I guess I'm treating her like I treat the guys. And I'm always like, tell these guys, like, I want to see some skin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I say it about the dudes.
Yeah.
Where she's like wrestling and like she's a very. And I think it's because she doesn't want to come off as like a sex symbol, even though she is like very attractive and has like a terrific physique.
Right. Yeah.
So I think she doesn't want to come off like that. So I get that. But she wrestles in like a t-shirt.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. It has like a cloth.
Yeah. Top, like I'm like, okay, if you don't want to show your abs or whatever, or you don't want to like.
Which I'm sure are like.
Very good.
Eight like Hawaiian rolls just lined up.
If they're not showing it, then you have Puffy Samoan rolls. But I think but I think what she's doing right now, it looks like she's not it doesn't look like wrestling gear at all.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's like when you're in that shape, you should dress like a wrestler.
For sure,
and I'm not saying she needs to dress like skimpy, but I'm saying like right now, I think she's wearing stuff that's like so unflattering in a way that is like.
Well, you
I'm
want like, something like what Bailey wears, where there's like a midriff and it's still pretty conservative.
Maybe, but even if it's like, even if, fine, something closer to what, if you don't want to show any skin, let's say, something closer to what Natalya wears or what Naomi wears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I guess she's kind of dressed like a character from like Golden Axe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I guess it's like.
She's like the Valkyrie from Golden Axe.
Maybe it's that, but then maybe like on the top she can wear like a Leia like bikini top, the gold bikini top or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, no podcast has spent this amount of time on this. So I just want to let you know what our niche is here.
Yeah.
What
Fashion
is our
Week,
market?
When Fashion
is
Week rolls around.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So let's move on to Raw.
Yeah.
Unless you have any lingering thoughts about SmackDown, you want
to. No, just that Daniel Bryan sounded like someone's mom in that opening segment where he's like, it's going to be civil, and that's just how it's going to be, okay?
Yeah, I think. look, it sucks to say anything negative about Daniel Bryan.
I know, it hurts. It hurts you.
But I think on Talking Smack, he's being like a jerk.
Yeah, he is.
To Renee. And like, as like, you know, whatever, I'm a improviser, you know, you're an improviser. Like, I think like, it's like, he's doing stuff. I don't blame him. It's not like he's trained in this way. He's not a trained host.
Right.
Like, he's a wrestler. So I get it. He like is joking around like he does in his personal life. But it's this kind of thing where he like doesn't support anything she says.
Yeah.
All his laughs come at her expense.
Yeah.
And, like, it's all. And then when a wrestler comes on to get. When a wrestler comes on to like be interviewed, he like is ironically detached from their character, making it like hard for for them to like stay in character. He's not like feeding into their gimmick at all.
Yeah.
So he's not like setting them up. He's making jokes like he's like a and like he thinks he's hilarious, but he's actually just being like a dick.
Yeah. No. He's very like he approaches them like, oh well, you can't. You know, you're stuck with The Miz, where he's like, your style is very soft and you run away from things. And he's talking about him like in a way that he can't really defend. Although Miz did it really well. But it's I know what you mean. It's like a
I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's fine because that was like kind of a work shoot that was like planned. But like Alexa Bliss was on there and he was just like, yeah, you're small. Yeah. All right. Like you're small. Like whatever. But like her whole thing is like, I'm tough. You know, and it's just like. Maybe just be like, hey, that move you do is devastating. Like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
To like help sell the wrestlers.
Well, actually, he was in this episode of Talking Smack. He kept doing this like thing where he would talk shit. And then he was like, but what I will say about them is that I like the fire they're bringing to this. Like he, like everything he said,
yeah,
he would like qualify it with like a positive. So maybe somebody.
Yeah, but I think what works about talking smack is that it's kind of so unprofessional. It's like a very loose show.
Yeah.
So it does have that like podcast feel, and I think that's why people are responding well to it. So I don't want him to correct it. I'm just saying he is being a jerk.
He's being a jerk.
He is being like kind of like a classic. It's the same way that like Kevin Nash recently was like an interview making like all these like misogynistic jokes and stuff. Like I don't know, it's a different world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like we live in a more progressive.
Yeah, and when he did his retirement speech, he made that joke that when they were chanting yes, and he's like that's what
Bree says. It's like that's your wife.
Oh come
man.
On, dude. Yeah,
it's like, exactly. And you know, like you know, Mary Lord's been on the show, and she said that she watches Total Divas.
Yeah.
I've watched a little bit, but she said that he's like an asshole to her on the show.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise
and,
me.
And like, I feel like I get it. Like, look, some of my friends and their wives who like live in different parts or whatever.
Right.
They don't live in the.
On the coast.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to talk.
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
I know
though.
What you're saying exactly.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a different dynamic. It's
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Anyway, what I'm saying is that I'm with her.
Got it.
Okay.
Raw.
Yeah, that's Raw. So Raw, I mean, well, I'll say something about Raw that's not actually to do with Raw.
Okay.
Is that I watched Raw with two dudes
yeah.
this week. Like I watched Raw like as like I went to a guy's house, like brought some popcorn and watched Raw.
Right.
I don't remember the last time I didn't watch Raw like by myself on my iPad, like while I'm doing like other shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I watched it as like an activity.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that it was 3 hours.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I was like, oh okay, like we'll just talk through this thing and then,
yeah. Yeah. Do you like the three? I think I prefer the hour and a half Hulu version over the like the 3 hour one, but I noticed that they put matches in different order in the edited version.
Yeah, they do. They edit it a lot.
Yeah,
they edit people like already in the ring and they did an entrance.
Yeah,
I wonder if that this is a conversation we were having at the viewing party I was at was we were talking about like will the cruiserweights make the Hulu cut? Did you watch the Hulu cut? I watched the live.
Yeah, I watched the live one. I didn't watch the Hulu one.
Yeah,
I wonder. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into Raw so we can get into Clash of Champions predictions.
Has Rollins made? Is this a full face turn yet? Like, what's going on with him?
Yeah, I think it's in between, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, me too.
Some people were like,
I stood the fuck up. I was watching at home. I stood up, put my hands in the air, did the yes chant when he came running out to save Roman. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I mean, the yes chant is. Well, look, this is Jason Shapiro, your arch nemesis.
Right.
His whole thing is that the yes chant was bigger than and better than Daniel Bryan ever was. That's like one of his claims. He's like the yes chant, he gets more credit for the yes chant than
yeah.
Which is an interesting take. I would say I disagree.
Right.
You know, I think there was more to it. But it is interesting because Stephanie still uses the yes chant to get She gets heel pop.
God.
She gets heel pop from the yes chant. And, like, The Miz is using the yes chant. Like, the yes chant is still alive and well.
Yeah.
And they use the yes chant, like, random times just to, like, say, just for a crowd affirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but I think it was elicited in me because I was so excited.
Yeah.
By Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rollins is just incredible. I mean, my only knock on Rollins is that he runs to the ring really weird. Do you notice that? He runs to the ring. What is his... He runs to the ring. Like, his run to the ring at WrestleMania 31 was not that weird, but now he does, like, a real professional, like...
Like a John Rocker sprint to the...
I don't remember the Rocker sprint. I mean, I only remember his racism. But
he would run. He would bolt from like the bullpen or the pitcher's like thing. He would run full speed.
Rollins runs like he has like robot arms. Like
yeah,
he runs like, and it's also like his feet are going like really slow, and I think they're like a little bow. He's a little like bow-legged
sure.
when he runs. So it's just kind of like a run that you're like, this guy's so athletic. You're
yeah.
like, how is that how he runs? But. It's just a small thing.
Yeah. No, I think he's amazing. He's got pretty much everything. This is not a controversial statement for this podcast in particular. But I want him to go full, like I'm ready for the full face turn.
Yeah.
Because people were saying when he got fucked over by Triple H that was the face turn. Not really.
No.
He was still kind of a brat. And then he comes out and does this. And it's a little bit closer, but then he like stares down. Apparently, after they went dark, like he stared down Roman Reigns in the ring.
Yeah,
and then like
and
bounced.
Then he tweeted something negative towards Roman Reigns. Yeah, too. So I think he's not like full on. But look, we don't want him to be like friends with.
No.
We don't want him to be friends with Reigns because we all hate Reigns. Like, it's right. hard for him to go face.
Yeah.
It's hard for him to go face if he's, like, going to be Reigns' boy. Like,
yeah.
But it's cool if he gets his back when, like, he needs, like, if it aligns with his wants. Like,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Because it's also, like, whatever. Reigns, you know, they're just going after that title. And,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Kevin Owens is the guy with the title, not Reigns.
Yeah. Do you like Braun Strowman?
I love what Braun Strowman's doing.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that haircut did a lot. You know, say what you will about how superficial I am and how much I get caught up in the pageantry,
yeah.
but it's amazing how, like, a little side buzz
yeah.
can make you look, like, a million times better.
Yeah, he looks great, and yeah. I think he's, I think they should give him a mic. He was on the Stone Cold podcast, and he can talk. Whoa. Like, he's a smart guy. And
right, you know what? There's no way he's a smart guy.
He's a smart, like, well, you know what I mean? I don't know if he's an academic, but
like JBL smart, like he's got the stocks
he's
going.
Not on,
Mama Juana Energy.
He's not on Fox News giving financial advice, but he's
with Ziegler.
Yeah, but he can put a sentence together at least. And I think he works a style that I think because he's so big and so strong, I like that he's moving up from jobbers now and he's against Sin Cara.
Yeah.
And Sin Cara did that
moonsault.
The moonsault, and he caught him.
And he caught him.
And you could see if you watch it again, he like was about a half a step behind, and he like ran in. He like ran into position to catch him and caught him like right at the last
yeah.
second. And that like sort of delay makes it look more real. And I don't know if that was on purpose, but just the ring awareness to like to run in and catch him and be that strong. I think he's great. I just want him to give him a mic because
I think
he can talk.
I mean, look, they're building up Strowman. Big time for his Lesnar loss.
Yeah.
and that's 100% what it is. It's like, because even if Lesnar Strowman will probably be at WrestleMania 33.
Right.
And it'll be awesome. Because that's something we haven't really seen from Lesnar in a while, is him fight somebody bigger.
Right.
Right? Like, that's cool for him to see. What does Suplex City mean when you fight a guy that's hard to suplex?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I think that'll be interesting. That's an interesting way to keep Lesnar on his steroid toes. But I think he'll definitely have to juice up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think Rollins is, yeah, I'm saying I like that he's in between, just to
right.
jump back to him. I like it's in between. It's like, let his face turn's going to happen, but right now the story's complicated and it's building. That's
yeah.
something I like.
Yes. Yeah, that's no, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I dig. I think just in general this Raw was like, just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like forgettable. It was kind of weird. It was a little like muddled.
Yeah.
Felt a little bit
like. There
was
a lot of action, I think.
Like, a lot of entrances.
Yeah.
A lot of people. here, this guy's here, this guy's here, this guy's here, this guy's here.
Yeah.
It's like hard to even decipher what I like liked.
Yeah. I do want to make a plea to Dana Brooke if she's listening.
Yeah. She is.
Charlotte is abusing you. You are in an abusive friendship, relationship with Charlotte.
Yeah.
Don't let her push you around.
Well, she's showing signs of resistance already.
I mean, thank God.
Yeah. We had the cage match at the end of the night. Rollins
yeah.
did that big crossbody off the cage, which was like, hey, it's a go-home show. Time to like
yeah.
make it happen. I thought that was a really big jump. I definitely appreciated it. Though, like, my brain is trained now. Like, if the jump doesn't have a flip, I'm just like, I'm like a little less excited.
You like
just
the flippity
like so
doos,
fucked up.
Right?
Yeah, flippity doos. After watching the Cruiserweight Classic, when you see a guy just do a cross body, it's a little bit like, I don't care how high up it is. Like,
right.
I need some revolutions. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm not sure why Reigns going over Kevin Owens was necessary. Like, even though in that fashion, why couldn't, I don't know. Kevin Owens could have won, and Reigns still would look strong if they came out at the same time. And like
yeah.
one guy's the champion, who's like a guy who like we're still figuring out if this championship's gonna stick. And
yeah.
like I'm all about the championship sticking on Kevin Owens. I think he's incredible.
Yeah, me too.
I think their match this weekend is gonna be like people are just gonna be like Kevin Owens is the real deal.
Absolutely, and I think that the heels need to be stronger and win more. Obviously,
yeah.
right? I mean, they have to be almost unbeatable, because then when they do get beat, it means so much more. And so, yeah, for Reigns to pointless. It was no, there was nothing. Like
yeah.
why?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I guess to make him look strong against Rusev, but we'll get into that. Like, so he's got a U.S. title match against Rusev, which is like a match that never was. I don't know. Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll get into predictions in a section. In a second, let me run through some of this stuff that happened. Well, I thought Jericho. First off, Jericho came out in pants, and he looked 5,000 times better.
Even his $10,000 leather pants.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he look like he wrestled in those pants? And you were like, oh, you look like kind of cool again. Which is like same thing as Usos. He wore the Uso pants. I mean, look, I kind of dug that Jericho was in the like the undies, because it's like it's almost like. Because since he's like a heel, it's almost like he's not admitting to himself that he still thinks he's in the same shape he was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And like he's like, what? I look great. It's kind of like for that character, it did work. But yeah, I thought Jericho is just so funny. The whole Kevin Owens best friend thing is just funny.
Yeah, he's
just funny.
He's a catchphrase machine, man. Like everything he says is like print it. Put it on a t-shirt.
His grievances against the GM, against Mick Foley, he was like, I liked it. It just the show was too much about Mick Foley. It was like, all right, we need to tone this down. But I thought Jericho was really funny. That whole segment was a little diluted to me. It was a little like, we have 3 hours and every single tag team's going to come out right now.
Yeah, the schmoz fest.
I guess it was like a go home and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of love when that happens, though, like a schmoz, like when you're watching it and like there's 19 people in the ring and then they go to commercial and they come back like, a match has been created.
That was another thing. It was like, okay, I guess this was a match. It's fine. You know, I don't know. It was fine. I had no beef with it.
Yeah, no.
I was enjoying the Jericho segment. Like when they all start showing up, I was like, oh, okay, Jericho's kind of like working right now.
Yeah.
And he had that great segment with Sami Zayn last week in the highlight reel. So I was like, okay, well, all right, fine. Well, Enzo's going to be here. Okay, cool. Jericho and Enzo. That seems exciting. But then everybody kept coming. I was like, New Day. It was like, oh, well, I think New Day. I love New Day, so
yeah.
I don't know. I don't even remember exactly why in that segment. I was just like, okay.
Well, I'm glad the club. When I wrote this down when I was watching, I was taking notes, and like when everybody was out there and they're all like kind of selling, like they're selling Bootios, Shining Stars are selling, going to Puerto Rico, and like the club comes out, and I'm like, please call them out on selling all this crap, and like they did, and I want that more from the club of like. Cutting through people's shit. Like, we're just here to fight you.
Yeah, the club, I mean, like, I think the club, I like the club.
Me too.
I think one of my buddies was saying he thinks the clubs are duds. And especially with, I think he's just saying, like, without AJ. I mean, I dug him more with AJ, obviously. But I think it's like they're actually, like, just wrestlers. And, like, with this tag division is, like, all, like, covered in merch, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, Enzo, they're all, like, goofballs. Yeah. It's like one guy, these guys come out and just, like, we're just champions.
Yeah.
Like, we're the best guys in Japan, and we're just dope. The problem is that they, like, keep trying to be funny, and then they're, like, not being funny. They had the ring postitis thing, which was, like, funny. They just beat it into the ground.
Yeah.
They should have just peppered it in every once in a while. Like, it would be funny if just, like, when they're going to do that move under the ring, they had the lab coats on and they put them on. Like, that would be better. But instead, they, like, came out with lab coats for, like, 2 months straight to the point where they're just like, all right, people are tired of this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they did that, like, old person segment where they were trying to, like,
that was
DX.
Abysmal.
Yeah. So the writing for them has been pretty bad because they're like, oh, we need to, like, whereas, like, they fit better in the tag team division on SmackDown because that's more about just, like, the wrestling.
Yeah.
But tag team wrestling is so dope right now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you watch, like, the Revival, like, those guys, like, they're just good wrestlers.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need...
There's so many tag teams.
I'm not exactly sure. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if we need to squish all the tag teams into, like, a one goofy segment.
Right.
When the tag team division is so strong right now. I wish all the tag... I think tag belts should be on one show. And I think... There should be one set of tag belts. It should be on one show, and there should be one woman's belt, and that should be on one show.
You don't want 18 belts?
No, it's way too many. Anyway, last thing. Oh well, the women's thing. So they turned that into a 3-way match.
Right.
They acknowledged the double pin, which I thought was cool that they had something that was like lingering like that.
Yeah,
and it was something like we spotted.
Yeah,
and like it was like, you know what I mean? It was like kind of like a Where's Waldo thing. Like, it was like, oh, we see this, and then next show, oh, they do acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, good. I do like that it saves the singles match. Like a Charlotte, Sasha, like Charlotte, what am I saying? Charlotte Bailey, we can save that for like Mania or something. You know what I mean? Like a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Bailey. You don't.
Well, no, I like Bailey. I just think her mic work is not good.
Yeah. I really like her mic work.
And here's why I thought about this. I think I know why you like Bailey so much.
Yeah.
She's like the like if the Ultimate Warrior were like a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's like a different take on
that
same
gimmick.
She's
more like Macho Man.
You think?
She's dressed just like Macho. She comes out in like the Macho Man jacket.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And she has like, but yeah, more Warrior Macho. Like, yeah. I do like her ring gear
a lot. Yeah, and I like her work in the ring. Like, yeah. I think she's a phenomenal wrestler.
But, there's only one wrestler phenomenal.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it was really what it was she has made leaps and bounds, I think, since she's been on Raw with her mic. It's been so much better. Because in NXT, when she was going up against Asuka, and she's like, I'm different now. And Corey Graves was like pressing her, like, why are you different? She's like, well, you just have to wait and see. I'm like, no, come on. Like, come up with something, like anything. Yeah. For why you're different, not just, oh, because I am.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just think, I just like how genuine she is. I like that she's just like herself.
Sure.
I kind of dig that. I like that she was like, hey, I won, so I can kind of like, I should kind of be like the champion. Like, she's not like forcing it. Like, Sasha's like, I got to be like a boss. And it's like, it seems like she seems uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because, like, Sasha, we see through it. It seems like she's just kind of, like, a nice woman. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she's just kind of, like, a good person or whatever. Yeah. And then she's, like, being this, like, asshole character.
Right, yeah.
But she's also a face. Where, like, Rollins, if you watch Rollins' 24 special, like, that his, like, Road to Recovery
Which
special.
Which is great, yeah.
You kind of see he's like kind of like an obnoxious asshole too, in a nice guy way. Like, he's a nice guy, but he says things that are like classic jock. Like,
yeah, he is.
Like, I deserve this. Like, he's got to walk out of WrestleMania because he's not headlining it. Like, that's so selfish. Like, a lot of his friends are wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and there's that shot of him backstage where like Bailey like comes up to hug him and he's just kind of like, yeah, okay, what's up?
Yeah. And look, I have like elements of that in my own personality. Sure. I understand it. It doesn't mean you're like a bad guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I could still be happy for my friend's successes, but, like, you know, there is an element there that's heel where, like, Sasha is, like, sitting front row at all Bailey's NXT fights. Like,
right.
And, like, we're watching this stuff, man. So, like, we're watching this. And so she's, like, teetering the line there where she has the conversations with Bailey backstage, and she's like, look, we had magic.
Yeah.
That, like I said. And you're like, All right, so you're nice. It's fine. You're nice. You're not a boss.
A boss, yeah.
You don't need to go on commentary and say you party with Jay-Z and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's like not authentic at all.
Which is almost more heel-ish to be like, oh, I party with these millionaires and like.
Right. Whereas like Charlotte is a flair.
Yeah.
So anything she says that's like asshole cocky related is going to work because she's legitimately a flair.
Yeah.
So that's authentic. And Bailey just being like genuine, that's who she is.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
So I really. Dig
I get
that.
It. I get
Where,
it.
Like, even Becky comes off as super authentic, too, because she's, like, worked really hard, like grew up in Ireland where there's no wrestling and, like, had to go to England to learn. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She had, like, that, and it's like, hey, look, I, like, you know, like, I'm just tough and, like, I'm jacked. She goes, like, I built these boulder shoulders.
Boulder shoulders.
And you're like, she has boulder shoulders. Like,
she
that's,
definitely
like,
does, yeah.
So the authenticity from Sasha, it's, like, kind of, it's like, oh, because Snoop Dogg is your uncle, like, you have to kind of act like a rapper.
Yeah, well, that's what WWE does. It's like if they're an African American superstar, their gimmick is rap.
Yeah, they get African American characters wrong so much.
99% of the time.
Yeah. And like New Day, they were so wrong when they came out. They just morphed into what they should have been,
right?
On their own.
Yeah.
Against like. You know, like Xavier was like, all right, we're going to come on. You know, like I'm going to start just like making these catchphrases and like with bring the trombone. And that.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be like gospel guys.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like preaching the dawn of the new day.
Yeah. That's their song is still them like clapping. And it was like it has like the church organ in it.
Yeah.
That's all because they were supposed to be like parodies.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I know we're going long. So, all right. Hey. Let's get into there's the Cesaro Sheamus thing, which we'll get into. I mean, that I think that I didn't like the best of seven like idea.
No,
it's stupid, especially the way they did it. It was so predictable. Like,
yeah,
look at Cesaro, the underdog,
and
look.
one of them takes place at a live event. Like, it's not even on TV. It's just like you find out that he lost.
I mean, it's crazy. Cesaro's had no belts except for the tag belt.
Yeah,
I mean, move Cesaro to SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and have him be in title contention.
Yeah.
I mean, Cesaro is such a good wrestler. If It's like he'll get so over just as being a wrestler. I know he stinks on the mic, but I mean,
see,
like,
I don't think he's that bad on the mic.
Oh, I think he's horrific.
Horrific?
Yeah, I think he's horrific. He had that one promo that was good, that shoot that he did.
Yeah.
At the draft.
Oh, they don't let me know because I speak five languages and sometimes.
But then they gave
him
the mic, and then he was like, "Oh, well, no, they don't give you the mic because like, you don't have a control over the English language, like
right.
which is what everyone speaks in this world, right?"
Yeah.
No. All right. Cool. So, all right, Zig. Let's go through. Let's round this out with Clash of Champions, Clash of Champions predictions. I gotta get Moro to do like the intro to the show.
You should. Oh man, that'd be great. You could, yeah, of course you could. I think he's accessible.
What is he, like, 20, like what would that cost, like $200?
Yeah. Give him a sixer.
All right, let's go through these matches and let's round it out.
All right, pre-show fight, Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax.
I mean, that's a Nia Jax
definitive
squash match. That'll be like 2 seconds long, and that'll be. I got to give Alicia Fox props for how bad of a beating she took from Nia Jax last week on Raw. Like, she sold those moves so hard, and also that had to hurt a lot, like all that. That was dope.
Yeah. I had one of my favorite Nia Jax things was a couple weeks ago where she threw somebody out of the ring, and you just hear her on the mic go, "Count her out, she's dead."
I love that. I didn't hear that, but I certainly like it. All right, what's next?
All right, number two, we got Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Wait, that's on the pre-show?
No, this is the actual first match is actually going to be showing, match number two.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's mislabeled. That's the title fight. But that's okay. Let's talk about it. That's like the main event.
Yeah.
So who's winning this? Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Or should we save this? Should we go through the rest? Let's come back?
Yeah, let's come back.
All right, we'll come back to this.
All right. New Day versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Oh, that's the fight?
Yeah.
That's for the title? I mean, it just feels like a weird time to move the belts, but I wish they would move the belts off New Day just to spice it up a little.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the club, but I think the New Day is going to go over.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm going to say New Day. I don't think that the club are going to get the belts. I think they haven't done enough for WWE to feel comfortable to move them. I think they had high hopes for them, and they've kind of been buried. They had that one segment that was like a major flop.
Yeah.
So I actually, I'm going to go New Day.
All right, triple threat match, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Bayley.
For the title?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Charlotte. Charlotte's retaining.
Yeah, Charlotte will retain. Charlotte will definitely, they're not going to move the title right now, but how? And how do you think, what do you think is going to happen?
Actually, would they do something? Because they have been teasing like Dana Brooke like rebelling against her. I don't know if they would try to pull something where she'll retain because of disqualification. Like Dana Brooke's going to do something to try to like affect Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then she'll retain, but then now she won't have Dana Brooke and Dana Brooke will go do her own thing or try to team up with somebody else. I think.
Yeah. I think this will be the end of the Dana Brooke, Charlotte. I agree there. But I think Charlotte will retain. And I think DQ is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's not a big enough pay-per-view that.
Yeah.
You know, that anybody would go over clean.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Sami Zayn versus Jericho.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to have a Zayn clean win.
Yeah. Yeah, Jericho doesn't seem like he would bury somebody like that. Like, I feel like his role is to get people over.
Yeah, and he doesn't need wins. He's a goof. And Zayn needs a win, although he did have his win over Kevin Owens. Like, Zayn had a big win recently.
Yeah.
He's just not working.
Was he injured? Where has he been?
He's around. I think he just has no. They don't know what to do with his character. His gimmick is that he is Kevin Owens' friend.
Right.
Like it's like, you know what I mean? Like that. Like it's like they haven't figured out what that is what it is. Like And like Jericho took that gimmick.
Yeah.
So now
he, did.
He doesn't even have that gimmick. So it's like his gimmick is he's a good wrestler, but he's like not in any big.
He's a
spot,
ska.
So.
He's a ska dude.
Yeah.
He's a ska dude.
I'm not sure what to do with him. I mean, he's okay on the microphone though. Yeah.
All right. Next up, Rusev with Lana versus Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Is this for the U.S.?
U.S. Championship.
Of course it is. The Clash of Champions.
Oh, yeah. Every fight is for a belt, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even think of
that. I want Rusev to retain.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the top heels in, like, a long time.
Right.
Especially, like, that perennial, like, foreign heel that they have.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. I think I'm going to say Rusev is going to retain?
Clean over Roman? Because
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah,
it's possible because that might be why they had him win on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna say Roman Reigns wins the U.S. Championship title.
Yeah, it doesn't seem out of the question.
Yeah, I think it's just like I don't know. I can't see that happening.
Right.
Because I'm like, what's like Rusev with the U.S. title? But
and people are going to boo so hard if he wins. They're going to hate it.
Also, he doesn't even like, feel like he wants it.
Yeah.
But that makes me think part of like, it'll be like he'll have the U.S. title and he'll just like wear it and then like still be going for the main belt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to keep that prediction, even though it's not a good prediction.
All right. Next up, Cesaro and Sheamus.
Oh, yeah. This is for the number
Cesaro
one
wins, yeah.
Does it say it's for number one contender?
Final match in the best of seven series.
Yeah, yeah. Number one contender.
Cesaro. Takes the
Yeah, I think Cesaro wins that.
Nat and TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh,
honestly,
shit.
I think they're going to drop it to Kendrick right away.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it would be smart.
Yeah.
I think it would be smart. I think they did kind of make a mistake. I don't think Brian Kendrick should have won on Raw. We were talking about that. We didn't get it. I think they should have gave it to Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Because I think it should be about like two no-name guys having the best cruiserweight match that only Raw viewers have ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think like those guys are capable of having a match that'll just steal the night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think Kendrick and Perkins can't have a match that'll be steal the night. Maybe I'm wrong though.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah. So, but you think Kendrick will win? I think Perkins will retain.
Okay.
But I think that that's a good pick, as opposed to my Reigns being a bad pick. I think that is a good pick, because after seeing Perkins do a backstage interview, and also the fact that they didn't even show him on Raw, they celebrated Kendrick more, I could see them just being like, you won the Classic, and that's it.
Yeah, you get the big, stupid trophy.
The point I didn't bring up about the Classic, whatever, there's so much to talk about, is that I hate that they put it in the third hour, and I was like, oh, man. Imagine they said a Cruiserweight show on the network.
Yeah.
It'd be so much better.
Yeah. Put it Thursday nights where SmackDown used to be or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe layer it into NXT somehow. Yeah. Make NXT 2 hours. I don't know.
I would love a two-hour NXT.
Put a Cruiserweight segment on NXT. The problem is that NXT is all Cruiserweights.
Yeah, nothing but.
Like, Shinsuke is a Cruiserweight, right?
Under 200. Well, yeah, it's under 210 or something. What's
He weighs around 205, right?
Yeah, but what's the Cruiserweight? It's under 225? Is that the idea?
It's 205.
205, yeah.
Maybe he's a little more, but.
Tony Nese is not less than 205.
I think he is.
He's 5 foot.
Well, Tony Nese is dope.
Yeah, yeah.
They must like not like him. They put him on NXT. He lost. I don't know.
I really think that there's a lot of personal politics that affect storylines, and that's why I keep saying, like, I think like Bray Wyatt, his IRS must have done something horrible to the McMahons for them to keep burying all of the Rotundas.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next match?
The one you didn't answer, Owens and Rollins.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Owens versus Rollins. Okay. You go first.
Owens retains.
How?
I'm going to say clean. I think he beats him clean.
I think Owens clean retain. Yeah. Owens is just going to win that match, and the pay-per-view is going to be over, you know?
Yeah.
I think Rollins can take losses, you know?
Yeah.
Think about Rollins had like a whole year of being the champion but never winning clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he basically lost every match when he was the champion, and we still loved him. Like,
and he lost up.
Owens really needs like a really nice clean win to solidify. Look, this match will determine a lot.
Yeah.
Now, the other element is that we haven't seen Triple H. Like, Triple H could come in and then Kevin Owens could win because of Triple H again.
Right.
I really hope that's not the case.
Just confuse everybody and then pedigree Kevin Owens and give the belt back to Rollins.
I could also see a thing where like Triple H comes out and then Stephanie comes out and is just like, what are you doing here? Like, what's going on with you? Like, what? And then that distracts and then Kevin Owens wins. So that's like not actually, it's a like an out of the ring distraction.
Yeah.
But I think either way, I mean.
Do the old, while Seth Rollins is like looking out to the ramp.
Yeah.
Owens comes up behind him and rolls him up.
Yeah, I think it'd be more powerful. The best way to write this is Kevin Owens wins clean, and then on Monday, Triple H comes out with Kevin Owens and is like, look, like, Told you. And it's like, look, and that's it. And I think, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, because I want that. I want that's the thing I've been looking for is that is the explanation from Triple H as to what is going on, like why he picked, why Owens.
Yeah,
why
I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Good. Any other last thoughts?
Nia Jax needs to be completely retooled. That's my final thought.
Okay.
She's smiling. Her music sucks. She smiles. She's supposed to be this monster lady.
Yeah, her music does kind of suck.
Sucks.
It's like I'm not like another.
If you watch Breaking Ground, she says, she's like, I don't like my music. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, it's like so poppy.
Do you like that they start in like really close to
her
face?
Oh, they do the Simpsons like eye, shifty eye dog.
And you know why they do that. They did it because Vince was just like, well, she's got a pretty face. And yeah. And that's it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she has like really like, she has like celebrity face.
Yes.
Like, I'm not like being superficial. I'm saying like her skin is like, she has like beautiful skin. Yeah. She's like a very pretty lady.
Yes. But if they're going to make her like this monster, they need to, she needs to come out to some heavy, heavy music.
Yeah.
Like, and just not smile.
Yeah.
Like even in her like pictures, like her promo picture, she's like smiling. It's like, stop. You're not like a nice person. Count her out. She's dead.
Yeah.
That's the person you want.
Interesting. I guess they're going to, yeah. All right. Well, that's a hot take to end the show. Anyway, hey, listen. Yeah. We're all going to clash this weekend
because mm-hmm.
we're all champions. remember to rate and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends about it. That's the most powerful thing you could do. I'll put on my sincere voice, which is very similar to my other voice. If you have friends who like professional wrestling, you've been listening to this, spread the word. Word of mouth is in my life is the most powerful way to promote. Somebody I respect tells me something's good, so I respect all of you. Let's spread the respect. You know what I'm saying? Respect. Hey, follow us on Twitter at COW Podcast and join our Facebook discussion group, Comedians of Wrestling, and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.